Sunday the 5th of February 2023, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Be Blessed. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. Talk by Reverend Elwon John.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, and I shall be reading from verses 1 to 16. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And this is the word of the Lord.
Jesus said, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. Christ calls the disciple the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Both of the metaphors symbolize how Christians should influence the world and are presented on the backdrop of the Beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, 3 to 10. Christ emphasizes the character traits of the believers, those who are part of kingdom of heaven. They are the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemaker. These attributes ultimately provoke anger and resentment from the world. Matthew chapter 5:10 says, the final trait of kingdom citizens is that they are persecuted because of righteousness. When I prepare my sermon, so my wife asked me, can you preach on this word? Why? You know, she said, I used to go for preaching outside. Actually, she is an evangelist. She is a nurse. But she's also running a Urdu congregation, Asian congregation in Barking as well, in St. Patrick's Church. She said, when I go to a park, I see where the big gathering, I start preaching over there. And she was preaching in Stratford Center, what's the new center's name, I don't know what's it. But she said, when I was preaching over there, one of the Muslim lady came to her, she said, Shut your mouth. Why you say Jesus is the Son of God? She says he is the Son of God. That's why we are preaching. The Bible says he is the Son of God. And don't say he is the Savior of the world. He is a just prophet, like a Muhammad, like other prophet. But she said, we can't. And she spit on my wife. And don't worry. If you persecuted for Jesus Christ, you have a big reward in heaven. The reward is waiting for you. Don't worry. And she used still every week when she's off from work, she used to go in the shopping center. She's looking a place where the people are good gathering. She started preaching over there. She said, I feel happy. And God bless her with the healing power. She used to go in different countries, you know. Suppose Pakistan, India, sometime Bangladesh. And God bless her with the healing power. When she touched the sick people, I saw in Pakistan, the people on the wheelchair, she said, stand up and walk in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And I was there. She just touched the lady, she was on the wheelchair, she was wake up. God, this is our Jesus. How can we stop preaching about him? If somebody persecute you, believe me, your reward is there. He will bless you. Then, but I said to her, are you going to preach on the salt? Because the salt, Jesus said, you are the salt. Salt give us a taste. Now, if you cook anything, if you cook a nice biryani, she cook very nice biryani. And when she cooks a nice biryani, when the salt is less, I don't taste it. I can't eat. Put more salt, then I will eat. They give me taste. Salt give me taste. So I start eating, you know. But anyhow, I start preparing my sermon on the salt. So Jesus said, you are the salt and the light of the world. In this passage, we will consider only one of these metaphors, salt. What does it mean to be salt of the earth? How can we grow in saltiness? How does salt lose its flavor? Big question, what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? And what application can we draw from this passage? Salt of the earth, what did salt represent in the ancient context? And how does this metaphor apply to believers? To be the salt of the earth means that believers are valuable to the world. Salt was also considered a mark of friendship. When two people shared salt, they were bound to look after one another's welfare, even if they were previously enemies. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 15, there is written, salt also was used to bind a covenant between two parties. It was a form of notarization. Parties would eat salt in the presence of witnesses to confirm the covenant. Therefore, even Christ calls the disciples salt of the earth. These aspects would have naturally come to their mind. Salt was extremely valuable. The salt of the earth means that the believer preserves society from moral decay. One of the primary uses of the salt in the ancient world was to preserve. There were no ice machine or refrigerator in those days. Therefore, to preserve food, it was placed in a saline solution. In fact, sometimes salt was even used to preserve bodies for their burial. It was a key ingredient used for the mummification in Egypt. How do believers preserve society from moral decay practically? Believers preserve society by keeping back God's destructive wrath. There is a very beautiful example in the Genesis chapter 18. Abraham petitioned God to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said to Lord, "Lord, if there were 50 innocent people in the city, will you destroy the whole city? Would not you spare it in order to save the 50? Surely you would not kill the innocent with the guilty." Lord answered, "If I found 50 innocent people in Sodom, I will spare the whole city for their sake." Abraham spoke again, "Please forgive my boldness and continue to speak to you. Lord, I am only a man and have no right to say anything, but perhaps there were 45 instead of 50. Will you destroy the city?" Lord answered, "I will not destroy the city if I find 45 innocent people." Abraham spoke again, "Perhaps there will be 40. Lord said, "For the sake of 40, I will not destroy." Then Abraham said again, "Perhaps there were 30. But the Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 30. Then Abraham said, "Now I have been so bold as speak to you, Lord. What if only 20 can be found there?" Lord said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then Abraham said, "Let me speak you once more, Lord. What if only 10 can be found there?" Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. However, Sodom lacked 10 righteous people, and therefore God destroyed the land." In the same way, God holds back his wrath on a family, or a business, or a city, or a nation because of righteous remnant. Commonly, before he brings his destruction, he removes or protects that remnant, as was seen with Noah and Lot even. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, some even believe that God will remove his church before the tribulation, and that it will only take 7 years for the earth to become fully corrupt and be wiped out again by Christ at his coming. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 58, believers are the righteous remnant which protects society from God's destructive wrath. Believers preserve society by praying for it. In Ezekiel chapter 32, God said he sought for a man to stand in the gap, but because he found none, he destroyed the land, like Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Christians should often pray for president, for the king, holiness in the nations, the spread of the gospel, and the church to be salt and light. They should also continually pray for God's mercy and forgiveness over the sins of others. In Amos chapter 7, God was given to judge Israel two separate times, but both times Amos cried out for mercy and God relented. In Amos chapter 7 verse 2, he said, "Sovereign Lord, Israel, forgive Israel. How can Jacob survive? He is too weak." Believers must continue to do the same. They must intercede for their families, for their friends, for their church, for the government, for the nation. When they do this, they preserve it from Satan's influence and God's destruction. Believers preserve society by being a righteous influence on it. This is done in many ways. Believers are a righteous influence by practicing godly behavior, caring for the weak, vulnerable in society, practicing honesty, integrity, and condemning sins. When this is done, it will spur hatred and anger in some, but with others, it will draw them to repentance for many. It will initially show up in anger and then lead to repentance. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we consider how morally decadent the world is, we must not be shocked. The world is supposed to decay. It has the treacherous disease of sin in it. And when it is fully grown, it always produces death, the book of James says. What we should be shocked at is the lack of positive influence from the church, from the society, from the families. When we see the corruption in the world, we must say, where is the remnant? Where are the righteous? Where is the salt that retard decay and provoke righteousness? It is no surprise that when society have reached starting highest of corruption, the church also, there was no remnant, no righteousness, for it was very small. My dear brothers and my sister, we are the salt of the earth. We are valuable. We preserve society from decay. We flavor it. Dear friends, are we allowing ourselves to be salt? So I pray that the Lord help our church, help our families, help our society, help our community to be salt. Because Jesus said, "Me and you are the salt of this earth." God bless you. Amen.